James, the fifth chapter. We'll start off there, but then we'll flip back to Daniel, and we'll spend our time in Daniel. So we've been reading through Jeremiah, and you know, if you read through Isaiah and you don't catch everything, and I can understand that. Isaiah is a little harder. But Jeremiah, I think, just has so many lessons and thoughts that we can apply today. And Jeremiah is actually, Daniel is intermingled inside of Jeremiah. And even though Daniel is over in the Babylonian captivity, Jeremiah is in Jerusalem. But James, the fifth chapter, verses 10 and 11, the James writer tells us, "As an example, brethren, suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful." And so, the writer here is telling us, go back and look at the prophets. Look at the endurance that they had. And Daniel is one of those books that just is full of endurance and people that's seeing hard times. Their world view has been changed. So now we're going to go to Daniel. And so turn over to Daniel. We're going to look at only three chapters of Daniel. We're going to look at chapter 1. Chapter 3 and chapter 6, because those are the stories we teach the young people in Bible class, but it's a reminder for us to think about what Daniel went through. Now, you can't see this, but it's the best PowerPoint presentation that you've ever seen, because I couldn't get my iPad to hook up. Now, whether it's my iPad or the system here, we'll have to get somebody else's, but we couldn't do it. But there is a great PowerPoint here. What the PowerPoint says is in chapter 1, Daniel's taken away in 606 BC, and he's somewhere between the ages of, he's around 20, 22, and, you know, he could be 18. Somewhere in that time frame is whenever Daniel's taken away. And so chapter 1, we're going to go there and read. We have a young person. Then in chapter 3, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whenever they don't bow down to the image, we find that Daniel's probably about 40-something years old. He's early 40s, late 30s, early 40s. And so I think the purpose of that is that you understand there's a time frame here, and there's 20 years between these events that occur. Now, one of the interesting things, and I cannot prove this, and I cannot prove exact timing of this, but I actually found this in my study this time. I believe if it's not within, if in chapter 3, whenever they were supposed to be bowing down to this idol, the temple had just been destroyed. They would have known that because it would have been, Jerusalem had fallen. So we're right in that time when Jerusalem is falling. Why is that significant? It's significant because you've got people that have been in captivity now for 20 years. They were the first ones taken off into captivity in 606. The temple, I think, falls in 587, somewhere in that that time frame. But think about your worldview. Think about our worldview. Think about a conquering army coming in. We're taken off to a foreign place. Our families are destroyed or in captivity. And the symbol of the Jewish religion, of God, and the temple, the magnificence of the temple, has now been destroyed. So whenever we get to that passage, I want you to think about that time. But we know that they have seen their deportation. They've seen another deportation. And probably they know that Jerusalem is destroyed. And to me, that's a if it's not insisting to happen, they know it's happening. They know the end is near for Jerusalem. And to me, that's a significant thing to think about the faith of those three men and Daniel. Chapter 6, we're going to see Daniel is probably somewhere in his 80s or 90 years old. We think of Daniel in the lion's den. Sometimes we think of him being a young man. He's not. And so I think in this lesson, I would tell the young people, purpose in your heart what you're going to do. Decide what you're going to do and strive for that. But I'd also look at the end of this lesson and tell the older people, you got to endure to the end. You can't let our age be our weakness, because the evil one's working on us all the time. And so we see both bookends of life illustrated in this lesson here today. The other thing, I actually had a chart. There's actually a beautiful chart on the bottom here. I'm making fun of my PowerPoint, but there is a chart on the bottom of this. And it was just to kind of give you some context since we just read through Jeremiah. But Daniel goes over three empires if you separate the Medo-Persian Empire, if you kind of separate that, because you have Darius the Mede. So you start off with Nebuchadnezzar. That's who conquered Jerusalem. That's who took Daniel in captivity. His son takes over Belshazzar, and those are somewhere around chapters 5, 7, and 8 in Daniel. 1 through 4 is Nebuchadnezzar. And so you have the son there. Remember, the son is the one that had the, you know, the handwriting's on the wall, you know, that saying that we have. Well, that comes from Daniel, right? The handwriting's on the wall, many, many tickle. And then you have Darius the Mede that takes over. And Daniel serves him. And then Cyrus the Persian. And chapter 6 is Darius the Mede. And so you have a lot of flux in Daniel's life that we read about here. And I think that's key that you understand the context of that, especially the context of Jerusalem being destroyed, and we see Daniel's faith. And I think this is, you know, whenever we think about faith, that's why we have to be focused on the unseen. That's why we have to be focused on the unseen. What we see right here is not real. What's real is the spirit world. And that's faith. And that's why we're told as Christians to have faith. So, since I'm not going to be able to do my presentation, the lesson was learnings from Daniel. And the five learnings that I have, and I'll say this several times as we go through and read passages, decide to live for God. Decide to live for God. And we're going to see that in chapter 1. Faithful courage in adversity. Faithful courage in adversity. We're going to see that for Daniel. We're going to see that in chapters 1 and 6. But we're also going to hit chapter 3 just because I can't study Daniel without hitting Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and their comments to Nebuchadnezzar. Integrity among mankind is something we see. We see Daniel and the other Jews have standing with these foreign powers because of the way they acted. And knowledge of God's Word. I think it's so interesting in chapter 9, whenever we get there, we see how Daniel is reading a book that was being written in his time, and that's Jeremiah, because he calls that out. And then last, we see life of prayer. And so Trey's lesson last week, which was not a good lesson because I felt like he was just looking at me over there and just saying, you know, Clay, you're not praying. And so, you know, why he, you know, and I think it was a great lesson. I hope if you haven't heard it, you ought to go back and listen to it, because it's whenever we need God most, we forget to go to him. And we see the opposite of that with Daniel here. So I'm not going to re-preach Trey's lesson, but my last bullet point, go to Trey's lesson and you can get 45 minutes of, or 30 minutes of what I would say Daniel would tell you. So we're using the New Testament to tell us, go back to the prophets, look at the prophets and learn from the prophets. So Daniel, the first chapter, we're not going to read everything here, but so Daniel, the first chapter, we see four young men dedicating themselves to God. And notice, and one of the things I want you to notice, and I love this about the book of Daniel, and I think this is so important as I've lived life, because I've made some decisions in my life to take a stand on something. And what I found as I look back on that decision, I look back and I say, you know, that really strengthened me. And that's what the New Testament tells us, right? But later on in life, I have to take an even bigger stand. And so you think about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They take a stand on the food that they're going to eat. They take a stand. But later in life, they take a stand on their life. So you think about, be careful whenever you think, well, maybe that's not that important, and I just don't need to make a ruckus about that, or I don't need to have all this turmoil in my life and take a stand on that. I will tell you, small things matter later on in life. Many small things. So purpose in your heart. Verse 8, but Daniel made up his mind. The first seven verses is giving you the context that I just gave you as far as the timing of all of this and the kings and everything. That's what first part of Daniel. But starting in verse 8, chapter 1, please read with me. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food and with wine which he drank. So he sought permission from commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, I am afraid of my lord the king, who has appointed your food and your drink, for why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youths who are on your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king. But Daniel said to the overseer who the commander and the officials had appointed over Daniel, and here we have the Jewish names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for the 10 days and let us be given vegetables to eat and water. But notice, so there's two things in here that's, I didn't mention one of them, but you see David deciding he's going to live for God. He's going to decide. The other thing I want to point out, he's in a foreign land. He's got every right to be bitter. He's got every right to be bitter, but notice he's finding favor. Now, I think God is having something to do with this, but the point is he's finding favor with these people. And it's all about his actions. And I think that's something we need to do. Sometimes we have taskmasters, employers, or people. We don't always act right. People don't always act right. But that doesn't mean we as Christians need to be doing God's will. We need a purpose in our heart. So we go down and we go through the story here. I'm not going to read all of that through there, but we'll read verses 19 through 19, 20, and 21. Then the king talked with them. He talked with Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. In verse 19, so they entered the king's personal service, and as for every matter of wisdom, understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus, the king. And that would be Persian king there that's mentioned in that last verse there. So as we go back into Daniel, we have to purpose in our heart. We have to think about, we must decide that we're going to serve God. We have to make that conscious choice. And that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Because these are, you know, can you imagine at 20-something years old going against the system that is set up for you? Going against the system that's set up for you. And I think that's one thing we see. Chapter 3, going through. And so this is faithful. Whenever you think about this is faith, being faithful and courage, faithful courage in adversity. So Nebuchadnezzar made an image. The height was 60 cubits and its width was six cubits. So this is huge, a cubit being a foot and a half. So whenever you think about that, that's 90 feet tall. That's not a small image that he's made. Nebuchadnezzar, verse 2, sent word to the assembly of satraps, prefects, and governors, counselors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set. So basically, in verse 6, it says, but whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast in the midst of the furnace and the blazing fire. And so, you know, I think there's some firefighters right now in Brantley County that probably could illustrate to us what that furnace might feel like. But the point is, we all understand what a hot fire looks like. I always, whenever I think about this here and I think about people dying, throwing these people in, I think of the boilers that we have at work because they're that hot. And you can't, you know, you can't stand and look at the flames. So you kind of get that feel. And these men knew that. But to me, so anyway, we get down, you go to verse 12. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. And Nebuchadnezzar was in rage and anger over orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach. Then these men were brought before the king, Nebuchadnezzar. Now remember, this is the Nebuchadnezzar. And they would have known this. Remember, the last king of Jerusalem that refused to do what Jeremiah told him to do. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar took him out, killed his children in front of him, and then put his eyes out. Okay? Now, this is the Nebuchadnezzar we're talking about. That's what he did to the king of Jerusalem. These are not kings. These are people serving his household. So think about their mindset. They know what happened. They know what happened to that king. And so whenever you put this in context and start thinking about this, these guys have purposed in their heart what they're going to do. They're going to serve God and they're not going to worship someone else. Now, in verse 15, now, if you are ready at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, so the king actually was going to give them, I kind of get this feeling, this is a few years after, or this is about the same time that he put the king's eyes out and killed his children. You almost wonder, you know, he had some semblance of mercy here because he said, hey, I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to do this. And verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of the blazing fire. He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. And I think verse 18 just speaks volumes here. This is the kind of faith we need to have. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. And this is a king that is very cruel. And here you have three men. I'm assuming they're in their late 30s, early 40s. Their frontal lobe has been completely developed. Now, I say that as humor because we understand that for men, we don't completely develop all the consequences of our life. You know, in other words, I make this decision, here's the consequence. We don't develop that sometime between 20 and 25. These men had that fully developed. They knew what they were doing. They understood there was consequences coming, and they told the king to his face, we're not going to bow down to your God. And if our God doesn't save us, so be it. Think about that faith. Think about that faith. That is great faith, and that is the faith that we're required to have as Christians. And you go down through, we know they got thrown in the fire. We know the people that threw them in the fire died. It was so hot. And we know that there was four people walking around in there. And Nebuchadnezzar called them out. And obviously Nebuchadnezzar elevated God the Father. And to me, because three men stood firm in their beliefs, And if you just imagine all the things that's going on, there was no army stopping the Babylonians at this time. No army could stop the Babylonians at this time. This was a world empire, and whatever Nebuchadnezzar said, he had many people killed, and three more people, obviously, he didn't care, throw them in the fire. So, they knew that. They understood that, and they were faithful to their God, and that's what we have to be. Now, anyway, we'll move on just for time's sake. Chapter 6, we see. Now, remember, chapter 6, we read these stories. We go to chapter 3, we got some things in between. Chapter 6, we kind of think, okay, how'd they forget this? We got a whole nother kingdom. We have a whole nother king that has occurred. We see jealousy here. Daniel, in verses, I'm not going to read verses 1 through 3, but you see that Daniel is over one-third of the kingdom, and he was doing such great things, they were going to put him over the entire kingdom, and there was jealousies that was arising, and they were looking to entrap him. Because they could not find any misdeeds he was doing in ruling in the kingdom. They could not find anything. And so they said that they've got to set a trap up with his religion because that's the only way we're going to catch them. Could you imagine, you know, Daniel is in service to Darius the Mede. And he's in service to Darius the Mede. And, you know, he doesn't have bitterness. He's sitting there doing his job. And to me, whenever you think about the integrity that we should be seen as, and we're not always there, but that's the integrity we're supposed to have. That nobody can find that. And if they're going to entrap us, they got to entrap us in our worship to God and to our dedication to our God. And so, So we see that Daniel gets trapped. And the thing you want to see here is Darius is sorrowful that he did this. That's how close, and that's the what how the king thinks about Daniel. And then, and I'm kind of running through this at the end here just because of time. But we see he gets thrown in the lion's den, and we see the angel coming and shutting the lion's mouth. And the king actually takes retribution against the people that set this trap up for Daniel and throws him. And so we see Daniel also setting himself up to worship only God and to do that. One of the things, note, they called him doing his prayer. And I do want to go back and read a verse here. So I like this verse here. Look in verse 10. Look in verse 10 of chapter 6. Now when Daniel knew the document was signed, it points out he knew the document was signed, that he could not bow to any other god. Now in his roof chamber, he had his windows open towards Jerusalem. Notice he didn't go do this in public, but he was going to worship his God. He was not going to make affront to the king. And he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks. And notice he knew what he was doing. He understood he was going to worship his God. He didn't have to go flaunt it in front of the king, but they entrapped him. And so I just think that's a neat thing there that happened there. And we know the story. He got thrown in the lion's den, and then he was saved. Lastly, I want to turn to the ninth chapter and notice Daniel was praying. Daniel was very old. Daniel was very old. Daniel had to be very busy. He was a man of much power. He had 40 people. He had 40 districts. I would probably say we would if you think about the world empire, we would probably say it's states, 40 states that reported to him. And so very much a busy person. But remember, he was praying three times a day. And he did not lose his communication with God. Lastly, I wanted to make the point of chapter 9. In the first year, Darius, the son of Azariah, the Median descent, who was made king over the kingdoms of Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the numbers of years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth. Notice he was going back to God's word. If you think about the food, and so in summary, we need to decide, are we going to live for God? And this last point here, we better know what God's law says. I have confidence that Daniel understood that. And if you go back, and I didn't bring this point out, if you go back to what Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego grew up in, there was wickedness. But their parents must have raised them. They set these young men up to be solid as a rock. And I think that's a study in itself. Faithful courage in adversity. Adversity. We have to have that. We can do all of that and still have integrity among mankind and knowledge of God's word and a life of prayer. And that's the lesson. I encourage you to go back. We're reading through the prophets. There are great lessons that we can learn, that we should take courage, that we're not the first ones to have trials. Matter of fact, we today, I would say compared to the trials that we see in first century, especially as we as we go through Revelations, Jonathan points this out as, you know, and I'm aligned with Jonathan, I think it's the Roman Empire, is much conflict there. And the early first century Christians were dying for their faith. And we're not having to do that. All we got to do is just stand up for our faith today. And let's work on our faith. Let's work on seeing the unseen and not the seen. And if anybody needs to obey the gospel or come forward or the encouragement of the congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing.